initially, Alex and I, we had a panic attack backstage about the Knicks taking Jang at 11. I would have literally just told you guys, like, I can't do the live stream tonight. But we're getting multiple first-round picks. I don't know what this is going to lead to, but I believe we got the 12th pick. Am I right, Alex?
I think so. I don't know what the other picks are. But I actually like Jang. I mean, this would have been like a total like rebuild pick if they kept him. So I think he fits well in OKC with their timeline. And I think that's an intriguing set of talented ball handlers and passers with Giddy and SGA and Chet. So, you know, that should be intriguing. But now we're at pick 12. So now I guess the Knicks are technically on the clock, even though it says OKC.
Okay, first off, damn, that was a roller coaster of the last 10 minutes just because I was so set on Johnny Davis at 11, and then he went a pick ahead of us, and then I started thinking of Steph Curry going a pick ahead of the Knicks back in the day, and then I saw the Knicks taking Usman Jang, and then I almost had a second panic attack, and then I see a trade. So a lot is going on, guys. A lot is going on. I don't know how I feel. I just feel nothing right now. So let's see what happens.
Okay. Well, you know what, fellas? Before we get into any more analysis, if there's a trade, do you know what that means? Oh.
Amazing.
Corey, we don't pay you enough, Corey.
It means there really was a Woj bomb, is what it means. All right. So Usman Jang was the pick, regardless of where he is headed. Am I the highest on Usman here?
I had him at 11. So
okay, so he got picked exactly where you had him. It seems as though you're the highest on him, but I think he's one of those guys. You know, I was talking to an executive in the league, and he was like, "If you're just looking at him purely from an analytical standpoint, you're going to watch draft with his feel in the pick and roll, the way that he can come off a screen." Not, you know, play at his own pace, take a retreat dribble, see over the defense with his height, whip live dribble passes to the weak side corner. Add in the fact that he could shoot the rock and create his own shot. He's one of those guys you have to just kind of buy into and be patient with. And if he's ultimately headed to OKC, and we'll clear that up when we get that information, to me, that's an OKC kind of pick. And I like the skill, versatility, and length from what they're doing tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you mentioned the playmaking. That was kind of the one thing that jumped out with Jang's game to me on the tape, especially when you add in the fact that he's 6'10", can handle the rock, play in the pick and roll. You know, he did a really good job, even though that he is 6'10". He did pretty good, like taking angles, getting low around screens to really cut the corner and drive the basketball as well. He definitely needs to add weight and strength and get tougher as a finisher. I think that's the biggest thing that he needs to kind of add to his game to unlock his full potential. But defensively as well, he's pretty solid for a, 18-year-old kid playing in the NBL last year. Struggled pretty heavily in the first half of the season, but second half of the season, he was just a totally different player. Really gives you some nice defensive versatility as well. So OKC's going to have like another fun kind of weird team next year. That should be pretty fun to watch.
According to Adrian Wojnarowski, the Thunder still have the 12th pick. It is not part of the Knicks trade.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm interested. They have a ton of draft capital to give up. Mm-hmm. And I guess if New York is not in love with any of the talent on the board,
Well, maybe they're getting a future first and they're going to flip it for Jaden Ivey. Maybe. Mm. Reading the tea leaves, you know.
Okay. Okay.
I'm stressed, guys.
So who else is going out with the future picks to land Ivey in this scenario?
More picks. Maybe Obi. You know, they just traded Jeremy Grant, so they got an opening at the four.
How do they feel about Taj Gibson?
He fits their timeline for sure.
That's Oklahoma City Thunder legend Taj Gibson. Nathan is informing us that the Ivy trade is still in play here, which is interesting because people were so fascinated with the Jaden Ivy Cade Cunningham fit.
Yeah.
It he falls into their laps. Albert, they called us madmen for doing the wild card mock, and yet we were probably more accurate than any of the expert mocks up until that point. What is that saying about Jaden Ivey and or more so, what is it saying about the Detroit Pistons plan?
I have no idea, man. I'm curious. Like, so what is the potential Nick deal here, right? What are they looking for from this Knicks roster that fits what they're trying to do? And why is Jaden Ivey not the better choice than whatever the Knicks have? I'm a little confused here. What could this be? Like the Knicks sending, what would they be interested in? Randall? Probably not, right? I mean, they just offloaded Jeremy Grant. So they want to go, oh yeah, we don't want Jeremy Grant, but we'll take Julius Randall. Interesting. I don't know if I'd build my team that way, but interesting. I mean, and if that happens for the Knicks,
leave it to the pros.
Second team all NBA, Julius Randle. Jeremy
also,
Grant.
Also fights with your fans, Jeremy, Julius Randle. So interesting. Oh, the pick is in.
The pick is in.
So this is still Thunder, though.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Okay.
You guys got it, right? Or
let him. Whoever's I feel like got, you should be breaking this one, Albert. Stream.
I think it's my guy Jalen Williams going number 12 to the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Okay.
A guy, Albert, that I just interviewed last week.
Tell me about Jalen Williams. What did you learn about Jalen with your conversation with the young guard? A guy who I compared to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah. No, the biggest thing that I learned from that conversation and just going over his tape and everything, an extremely cerebral player. Jalen Williams is a really smart player who's coming from a smaller school in Santa Clara, but he has everything that you're looking for in terms of a modern wing. And the thing that I love about Jalen Williams is he's a guy who can both play with the ball in his hands and he can play off ball as well. He's a great manipulator of the pick and roll, extremely patient, great handle, can shoot the ball, but also off ball as well. He moves really well. He can shoot off the catch. And then the biggest thing with him that I compared him a lot to Johnny Davis in this way is that he was asked to guard the best player on the opposing team every single night. He's a much better defender than I think people are giving him credit for. And so you take all that into consideration. And now the OKC Thunder with SGA and Giddey and Usman Jang and Chet Holmgren and Jalen Williams, this is an extremely fun roster that we're going to start thinking about certain, maybe they'll be moving up a level and maybe be sniffing the playoffs in a couple of years. I really love what they've done so far. I'm curious to see what they gave up to the Knicks for that pick. But Jalen Williams at 12 is a great pick. I was hoping, I even wrote it in my article about him. I would have been totally fine if the Knicks took him at 11. So to see him go 12 here to OKC makes a lot of sense to me.
Alex, OKC is building a team full of versatile ball handling shot creators that could play make. I mean, Trey Mann, Josh Giddey, SGA, Chet, Usman Jang, Jalen Williams. What? Poku? Poku Mania might be alive and well. Is this going to be something that teams are going to try to mimic? Or is this a copycat league? Do you see this blueprint working?
I mean, I think it's going to take some time to iron out and see which guys are actually long-term fits on this roster. As you mentioned, they have a lot of guys who are long, athletic, can play make, can shoot, can score, can defend as well. They were a pretty decent defensive team last year, actually. And I think Chet will add to that. I think Jalen Williams is a pretty good defender. Usman Jang, we mentioned the defense. So I think overall they have a lot of intriguing pieces. And I think we'll just have to see where the chips fall and like who they keep long term, who kind of they trade away or let go after the rookie deals are up. But I think they have enough kind of shots at like the high upside guys that you could figure out, keep three, four of them long term. And then you have a nice, solid core of guys that all pretty much complement each other because they have similar skill sets, but they're all pretty versatile in their positioning. So I think it's a very interesting time in OKC. And I think they're, going to be turning the corner probably in the next 2 or 3 years, especially if SGA takes another leap forward.
I mean, they are flush with what it seems like is rotation players.
Mm-hmm.
at some point they have to cash in on these picks. So is there going to be a player? Because even if they're giving future picks to the Knicks, they still have a tremendous amount of draft capital. Who do you, is there a target out there, Albert, that you see for them that fits their timeline and is going to be a good use of that draft capital to push them to that next level? Is it this year? Is it next year? I mean, is Chet a guy that can come in year one and have the kind of impact that maybe makes them start thinking at the deadline? Maybe we should make the move sooner rather than later?
I think my biggest thing with this move, and overall with what they're doing right now, is Corey, you mentioned it. They have a lot of assets, right? And so I think a lot of the times when we start thinking about like teams that, you know, we talk about it all the time with cap space, right? Teams that have a ton of cap space, we always go, hey, they've got cap space, they've got to spend it. Or this team has assets, they have to spend them. They got to do something about it. I think OKC, they're set up right now by drafting all these really exciting young players. And now they're going to be in the driver's seat to go after whoever they want, whenever they want. You know, I don't think it has to be right now. I'm sure, I mean, we still have the whole summer ahead of us. And then also during the season, as you mentioned, Corey, maybe at the trade deadline, there's somebody that they like. So I just think it's interesting that not only do they have all these draft picks, but they also have all this young talent now where they're going to have a lot of options. And the OKC Thunder and Sam Presti and that front office, it looks like they're playing the long game here, maybe. And they're going to be really interesting to watch in the next couple of months.
Corey, I think you might be on mute.
Thank you. We still have no details on the specifics of the trade, but let's talk a little bit about what Charlotte might do at 13. What direction do they head here? I mean, are they going big, or both big men are on the board?
Right.
So are they going to play the game where they are taking the wing, hoping that Cleveland doesn't take a big and get their big later on? Or do they just go safe and take their big now?
I think you just, if they want a big, I think you just take them now. I wouldn't get too cute trying to, you know, because you never know who's going to trade up. If someone really likes Jalen Duren, for example, and they could trade up a couple spots to get him with Cleveland, I just wouldn't take that chance. If Jalen Duren or Mark Williams is their guy, I would just take him at 13. And then 15, there's still a lot of wings on the board that would be pretty intriguing, like Tari Eason, for example. I think would be pretty good, fit with Charlotte and LaMelo Ball and running up and down the court, especially if they take Duren at 13. So I would go big here, and then 15, maybe take a swing on a wing. AJ Griffin still on the board too. So
yeah, my guy, somebody who I think is a major sleeper. It seems as though the pick is in. The Charlotte Hornets are going to be taking Jalen Duren.
Wait, but Corey, there's like madness going on right now.
Yeah. Oh, guys, do we have a bomb?
So here's
not
the thing.
Yet,
so
not yet, not yet.
Shams is reporting that the Hornets traded Duren to the Knicks, but then Woj is saying that the Pistons got Duren. So what the hell does that mean?
So
where is Jaden Ivey?
Oh, this is a whole thing right now, huh?
So what in the hell is going on?
Jake Fisher saying the 13th pick may be rerouted to Detroit. So there's the Jalen Duren.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
So is there going to be is this an Ivy situation? Jalen Duren is the pick at 13. We know that. But chaos has started to ensue.
Of course it started with the Knicks.
Alex, I'm having trouble right now, dude.
If we get Jaden Ivey.
Why are we in front of cameras right now?
Yeah, I'm going to need to get it. I'm gonna watch.
Everybody keep their mouth.
I know.
Keep their cool.
Here we go. I'm freaking out, guys. Sorry.
Let's talk about what Jalen Duren brings to
basketball, any of these teams.
Right? Jalen Duren, 18 years old, going to be 18 years old as he plays his first game. Alex, where do you rank him in comparison to the rest of the big men in the draft, including the guys at the top, and then back again with Mark Williams?
Yeah, so if we're including the top three as like front court big men type guys, then he would be my fourth, I think, because I had him above Mark Williams, not that far above, but I had him, I think, right around this range, like 13, 14. You know, crazy athletic, vertical athlete, NBA built body, comes in, you know, at 18 years old, one of the chiseled guys in the NBA, which is pretty rare to find. You know, 6'11", 7'5", 7'6", wingspan, whatever it is. Really good shot blocker, really intriguing, like short roll passer. He had some nice passing playmaking moments at Memphis. If he's going to Detroit, which seems to be the rumor, you know, I think that kind of takes them out of the DeAndre Ayton sweepstakes. They were kind of a, you know, one of the favorites to maybe go after him given their cap space. But I like his fit on that team with Cade, and, you know, Jaden Ivey. Knock on wood, maybe he'll be on the Knicks, so who knows? It might not matter. But no, I just really think he's going to be, you know, at worst, he's, you know, a low-end starting center, you know, rim-running, diving. And then, you know, upside, I think he still has some upside, you know, defensive versatility and then some scoring upside as well.
What does this mean for Isaiah Stewart? Do we think that this is a guy that can play with Jalen Duren, or do we think that with a guy like Isaiah Stewart, he's a good role player in this league, but he's not a guy. This is a best player available. You can move off Isaiah Stewart and you just go and try to build off Duren and Cade here.
Yeah, no, 100%. I agree, man. I think Duren is a great pick here for Detroit. Just because, I mean, you've got Cade in the building. So to match Duren, and Corey, something you talk about all the time is with Duren is he's 18 years old now. As you mentioned earlier in our stream, he should be going to prom, but instead he's at the NBA draft. So that's incredible, right? We talk about the youth, but beyond the youth too, like for those who, you know, doubted Jalen Duren like me, if you watch the end of that season for Duren and how he progressed towards the tail end of that season, incredible. Really, really great, you know? So there's a lot of potential there. Obviously, there's still a lot of moving parts. So rather than talking about fit, I think it makes sense that we just talk about the prospect. But even, you know, Corey, we've mentioned before that, you know, he's got a little playmaking to him, just a little bit, you know? Hopefully the shooting comes around as well. But there's some bones to it, right? Where potentially he could, you know, hit like a 12, 15 footer, no problem. We will see. But overall, like you have to kind of take, when we're talking about a team like Detroit that's so early in the rebuilding process, you kind of have to take a swing on a guy like Duren because you've got Cade and you want to build around that guy with players that are around that, are within the same timeline as him. So I think it's a great move for them, but obviously Alex and I are kind of on pins and needles right now to find out the details.
It looks like Kemba Walker is on the move. Yep. The Knicks have alleviated themselves from
it. What? Also, guys, it looks like Shams just tweeted, Knicks acquired Jalen Duren and moved him with Kemba Walker to the Pistons.
What?
That's what Shams just tweeted.
Oh, okay.
So cool. Kemba Walker clearly raises the value of any trade at this point of his career. So maybe that's just the trade for Jaden Ivey there.
So what does this mean for Mitchell Robinson for the Knicks?
Resign him. I guess, right?
No, the Knicks acquired Jalen Duren.
But then it says, and moved him with Kemba.
Oh, okay. I didn't read the second half of the tweet. Sorry.
Yeah, look, Knicks fans are in a tizzy right now.
It's cool, Alex.
It's the hearts are beating. I get it. But Duren and Walker to the Pistons, we don't know what's going back where.
I know.
This is pure chaos trying to figure this out on the fly. This is why we love the NBA draft.
I know. Hey, with that being said, the 14th pick is in too. And it's Ochai. Look at that.
It is Ochai Agbaji. The Pistons are sending the Hornets the 2025 first-round pick via Milwaukee in the Duren trade. Detroit got that pick from Portland in the Jerami Grant deal. Let's talk about Ochai Agbaji to the Cleveland Cavaliers right now as we move away until we get the details. But Ochai to the Cavs, I mean, me, this is unbelievable. I've been beating the Ochai Agbaji drum because this is a guy who has proven that he is a winner, doesn't need the ball to be effective, and he now gets to play with a setup man like Darius Garland, an elite passing big man like Evan Mobley. Alex, talk to me about Ochai to the Cavs right now.
Yeah, I think this is a perfect fit, honestly. I was a little lower on Agbaji. I had him like around 20, 21. But totally get it. You know, Cleveland's now kind of a contender in the East, and they're trying to make a push for win now. And I think he's going to play, you know, excellent off of Darius Garland and, you know, be that floor spacing two guard who can kind of guard one through three and kind of cover up Darius Garland's, you know, defensive inefficiencies on that end. So I think this is like a perfect plug and play starting two guard, you know, getting him at 14, I think is great value.
Albert, talk to me about Ochai.
Oh, dude, for sure. I mean, Ochai is a guy who, I mean, we talk about this all the time. He's a winner. He just won the national championship. And it's good to get guys on your team and in the building that win games and win trophies. That's a good thing to add to your team.
Nice.
And with Ochai, I love Ochai, man. He's a guy who really developed as a shooter, a guy who defensively from day one is going to be somebody that you can rely on. And on top of that, he's a freak athlete. Kansas was literally throwing lobs to this guy. And we're talking about a guy who's going to be like a 2-3 for the Cavs. And so if you consider all that the Cavs have right now on their roster, they've got their little guards, they've got their giants, they needed something in the middle, and Ochai is something in the middle. And that's an awesome pick for them to grab him at 14. I've said this before, even if Ochai went 11 to the Knicks, I would have been totally fine with him. I was really high on him, and he's a guy who's going to come in. Not that they need stability or anything, but he's just an adult. Again, once again, it's good to have adults in your building. And so I love this pick for Cleveland.
What does this signify for Colin Sexton, for Isaac Okoro? Is this easier to move off of one of those guys now, Albert?
I don't know. I was actually thinking, like, why not play them all together, too? I could see that as a possibility as well. We look at the NBA right now and we look at all the top teams and they've got wings for days. You know, look at the Celtics, right? Look at the Warriors. Even look at teams like the Clippers, right? The Phoenix Suns. It's not a bad thing to have multiple wings and to have a lot of them. And so I don't really see him as a direct replacement for either one of those guys. I think he's another asset to add to what they already have. But although, I mean, if they move off them, I'll understand that too. But I like to see him play with those guys because I like having a lot of wings.
Having a lot of wings in the modern NBA is a good problem to have. Alex, year after year, we see guys like Ochai Agbaji who win national championships, who fit the archetype of the modern NBA, not necessarily go super late. I think NBA teams typically value them, but they're not really classified as the sexy pick necessarily every year. But, you know, you see guys like Mikal Bridges. He didn't help the Suns win right away, but you saw when the pieces started forming around him how valuable he became. Is that the kind of impact that the Cavs are hoping Ochai Agbaji brings to their organization?
Yeah, I think so. As Albert was mentioning, he's a winner. So from just a locker room standpoint, I think he'll bring kind of a sense of just winning mentality. And he's coming in, I think he's 22 years old. So kind of that veteran leadership coming in as a rookie, you know, adding to this, you know, defensive unit that was, you know, took a really big step forward last year. Agbaji can, you know, bring that along. I think he's just a nice plug and play kind of starting level, six man level guy. And on a team like the Cavaliers that, you know, should have, you know, probably made the playoffs last year. They just missed it. They were in the play-in and got eliminated. But I think they're on the rise. And I think he fits in seamlessly with what they're trying to do, both offensively and defensively. So alongside Garland, I think you got your guy at the two long term. And then you mentioned Okoro. I think he could play with Okoro, just given that he could flip space the floor. Okoro's not the best shooter, but he's another solid defender. And then Colin Sexton, I don't really know what his market is going to be in free agency. Like, if they can get him back for cheap and, you know, maybe have him just run the second unit, I think that could totally work. And then play alongside Agbaji as well in the second unit.
Fellas, it appears that Jaden Ivey is staying in Detroit. It appears that Troy Weaver has landed both Jaden Ivey and Jalen Duren, the cost only a future first round pick. Details, it seems, are still coming out beyond that. But the Knicks, it doesn't seem like are going to get their man, the guy that most Knicks fans were coveted. This seems like a major tease for the Knicks fan base. How are we feeling, guys?
I don't even know how. So what happened with Kemba Walker? Like, how did the Knicks acquire Jalen Duren and then trade him with Kemba Walker? Because they had a trade with Charlotte, right? How did that trade go down?
We still yeah. have all of the details.
Mark Williams just got picked.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yes. Mark Williams has been selected by the Charlotte Hornets. He stays in the Carolinas. And the Charlotte Hornets get their big man. Albert, talk to me about Mark Williams and the kind of impact that he could have in the NBA as you are distraught over this potential Knicks news.
So congrats to all the other NBA teams who are walking away with players and good players. Congrats to you guys. The Knicks obviously are not interested in any of that, and we're looking for cap space to do who knows what. But let's talk about Mark Williams, because Mark Williams is good. Let me focus here. Mark Williams is awesome. He's a giant human being who, instead of arms, he's got ladders. He's going to be a really fun watch for Charlotte, who they've been kind of toiling with Mason Plumlee, who is not very good at basketball. So adding a guy like Mark Williams is going to be phenomenal for them. He's going to be a nice lob threat for LaMelo. He's going to be the anchor for them defensively. They have been a very good defensive team. So adding Mark Williams to that picture is fantastic. He's got a really cool blue suit on that I want to give him credit for. It looks clean, looks cool. But no, the biggest thing with Mark Williams that I like a lot is obviously the length is the length, the size is the size. But I think he moves well laterally as well for that size. People think he's going to be able to shoot threes. I'm not as optimistic there, but same. I mean, teams are allowed to believe, right? Unless you're the Knicks. So congrats to the Hornets on Mark Williams.
I love the fit for Charlotte here. I think that getting a lob threat for LaMelo is a ton of fun. Maybe a little D'Antoni, you know, magic added here. They needed that defensive presence. Alex, is this the right move for Charlotte here, even though this is something we all predicted months ago?
Yeah, it just makes a ton of sense. I mean, getting a rim running, you know, big to pair alongside LaMelo in the pick and roll just makes total sense. And as Albert mentioned, he's a very large human being who can catch a lob at, you know, any point, and LaMelo loves to throw him. So they should be an intriguing kind of duo in that two-man game.
Absolutely. Fellas, we are going to transition to the next guest. I think that you guys need to take a shot here. Maybe
my brain is mush right now.
Yeah. Try to figure out what's going on. Do some detective work. Come back to the chat and you know,
I'm going to sleep, guys.
And if we, you know,
I'll be back for pick 42.
If we don't hear again, let's hope. All right. Fellas, it's been real. I appreciate you guys and good luck the rest of the way here. All right. We have Tyler Metcalf with us. We have Nathan Gruble here. We have the Atlanta Hawks coming up on the clock. Good to have some guys who are not just absolutely flustered right now on the stream. Fellas, welcome back to the show.
Are you sure about that? I don't know what's going on right now.
I didn't say you don't know what's going on. I just said you're not flustered. There's a complete difference. I want to remind everybody in the chat that our show tonight is presented by NBA Top Shot. Make sure that you head to the link that is pinned to the chat and sign up for an NBA Top Shot account, because we are giving away a moment from the packs that we open tonight and one more pack that we still have to open. The only way to get this free moment is to sign up for an NBA Top Shot account. And while you're there, buy a starter pack. It's $10, and you too can feel the excitement like you did as a kid. Maybe it was some Pokemon cards. Maybe it was some basketball cards. Maybe you're old enough that you actually collected baseball cards, but it's a good time. Make sure that you get that. The pick is in for Atlanta. Adam Silver has not yet taken the stage. Nathan, what direction do you think Atlanta should go in here?
Well, the pick is in. Do you want me to say the pick?
We were not doing spoilers here, Nathan. We talked about this. We had a meeting. I know the pick is in.
I have it up on my TV.
I'm shifting to Metcalf, yeah, Nathan. So, I'm so do I.
Okay, so where I'm at in my viewing is AJ Griffin is now an Atlanta Hawk, and I think that is
right.
Incredible value. You know, I have AJ as a top 10 guy. He was arguably the best shooter in the country this season. I think he's got more on ball equity than he was allowed to show. I absolutely love this value for Atlanta.
As do I. I have AJ as the third player on my board. I don't know if AJ had bad medicals or what, but it's hard for me to think that a guy who's 6'6", 6'7", with a 7-foot wingspan, the body of a tight end, and was possibly the best shooter in the draft with 2A upside would fall to 16 otherwise here. Nathan, are you a buyer or seller that AJ Griffin can get back to the athleticism that he showed in high school or somewhere close to it as he progresses in the NBA?
I don't know if I'm 100% buying that, nor do I necessarily feel like I need to for him to outperform his draft stock at this point. I mean, there was plenty of buzz earlier today. If everybody was on social media checking out a lot of the mock draft updates, you saw AJ Griffin being the one real surprise name that was falling down some of those mocks as a guy who's been a lottery guy, potentially top 10 pick. There was so much buzz. He could have been picked as high as like number 7 or number 8, especially to the Pelicans. And now the Hawks are swooping in, pick up on the steal, getting him at number 16. Talk about tremendous value. Somebody who could hopefully grow into a defensive role at about 6'6", 220 pounds. We know the type of shooter he is. Man, Trey Young is going to love finding him in the corners. And you know, Trey can pass him the ball. He's going to look over. AJ Griffin's going to make that shot. That's just more of what Atlanta needs. And honestly, that's the direction we thought they were going to be building towards after they made that Eastern Conference Finals run. It seemed like they just had all these guys 6'6", through 6'7", that could just make open jump shots. You just keep adding to that pool of talent, right, with AJ Griffin.
Metcalf, what does this signify, if anything, for the future of the plethora of wings that Atlanta already has on its roster for Kevin Huerter, for Bojan Bogdanovic? I mean, what does this mean for those guys? Is AJ Griffin a replacement for maybe a trade to come?
I think worst case scenario, now you just have a bunch of length and versatility on the wing, which is what every, you know, team that makes a deep run in the playoffs has. And, you know, that's the modern NBA right now. So I think worst case, it's like, okay, cool. We just added an elite shooter to the rotation and someone who has some potential, you know, legit on ball upside. Since Atlanta's also been in every single trade talk or rumor that's been leaked in the last 2 weeks. It also seems like now Kevin Huerter and Bogdanovic might be a little more expendable, as AJ Griffin might be one of these guys who can kind of step in and do a lot of what those guys already do from day one.
I feel like playing next to Trae Young doesn't do a whole lot for my belief that AJ Griffin has a little bit more ability with the ball in his hands. I'm not sure how much of that he's going to be developing early on there, as I'm sure Atlanta continues to run their offense through Trey. But I do think that they need more shot creation outside of Trey. Mm-hmm. I also think they need some playmaking, and I don't think that AJ has shown to provide too much of that to allow Trey to play off ball. But what direction do we think Houston's on the clock next? What direction should they go in?
Oh boy, there's a lot of different directions they could go. I think the popular name that we would all say right off the bat would probably be Tari Eason, right? I mean, they could go after another athletic forward slash wing, depending on how you classify him. Could definitely give them a little bit of an athletic upgrade in the front court. Somebody who we know can be a defensive playmaker for them. I would think he'd be the name that they're targeting at this point. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm a buyer in Eason personally. He's higher on my board than this pick. So I think that would be a move for them. Metcalf, how about you? Do they have any alternatives to Tari Eason here?
So this may seem like a reach, but I really like Dalen Terry, given that they went with Jabari Smith first overall. I think putting Terry next to Jalen Green gives them an actual point guard, improves their backcourt defense, and just improves their overall defense with Jabari and Dalen Terry on the floor at the same time. That's a lot of fun. And, you know, Terry's defense is always what gets publicized, because that's what, you know, it's incredible at 6'7" being a point guard. It's super versatile. It's in your face. It's obnoxious, but he's also one of the best passers in this draft. And pairing that with Jalen Green and Jabari Smith's off ball shooting and Sengun, I think that has a lot of potential, you know, on both sides of the ball for them going forward.
I love that fit, Metcalf. And I think one of the best things about it is we know the Rockets need to improve defensively, right? They're a young team, and a lot of playing team defense is just about having years together, experience, building that chemistry. But in order to even get that far, you need to bring guys in who are willing to defend, who are dogs, who want to get down and dirty on the defensive end, right? So you already bring in Jabari Smith. You could bring in either of Dalen Terry or Tari Eason, and now you're building your team with defenders who want to actually make an impact on that end of the floor to help inspire and motivate everybody else.
Yeah, I love Dalen Terry. I'm thinking that he should be off the board fairly soon, whether he ends up going to Houston or not. But I think those are the two guys that make a lot of sense for this Rockets team. I mean, Jabari and Jalen Green, that pick and pop combination there. I mean, talk to me a little bit, Metcalf, about how hard that is going to be to guard for the Rockets.
Yeah, and it's going to be an absolute nightmare because you can't really drop or else Jabari's going to leak out even farther and the big can't recover. Jalen Green showed improvement as a pick and roll operator all throughout last year, and the way his passing grew is so encouraging for the long-term outlook of the Rockets offense. And, you know, we were fantasizing over the Jalen Green-Paolo pick and roll combinations that they could do. I don't think it's too different from the Jabari Jalen Green. Obviously it's going to look a little different, but like you said the threat of that pick and pop, because I do think Jabari is the best shooter in this draft, it's going to be really, really lethal.
Looks like the pick is in, and Tari Eason will be headed to the Houston Rockets. Nathan, you touched on this as the guy you think would fit well there with this pick. Talk to me about how he fits in the front court now with Alperen Sengun and Jabari Smith Jr.
Well, so both Sengun and Jabari Smith as front court partners, I mean, their games are better suited in the half court, right? They're not those transition guys that are going to get out of the break, these elite athletes that are really going to be pushing the pace and the tempo. If you're trying to mix and match different lineups and take advantage of some opportunities you might be able to create on the defensive end, you need someone else other than Jalen Green who's going to be able to run out and transition and actually, you know, force the hand of other teams, forcing them to get back. Tari Eason's that other guy. His best offensive fit is in transition. I still have questions about what he's going to bring to the table in the half court, especially in high leverage situations, but there's no question that they will be able to take advantage of his defensive ability, his willingness to go make plays and actually get the ball out in transition, and then he'll run the floor and finish everything that he's near around the basket.
Woj says that the Rockets feel that Eason is the best defender in the draft, taken by his ability to switch and play with aggression. He is one of those guys, Metcalf, that has that dog in him. What do you see him doing for the Rockets defense? Not necessarily early on as a rookie, but down the line, is he the type of guy that you're going to throw on to Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and Luka Doncic and all of the wings out west?
And long-term, that's certainly the hope. You know, when you filter past seasons by steal and block rates, the marks that Eason hit, only like two or three guys have ever hit. So he is an incredible defensive playmaker. Obviously, some of that is a symptom of the high-pressure defense that LSU implemented. But that also speaks a lot to his strength, his timing, his instincts, his rotation. So long-term, having the switchability and the versatility of him and Jabari Smith as your two primary wing defenders, that's going to be a nightmare for opposing teams because they're going to be able to pre-switch pick and rolls. They're going to be able to switch at point of attack. They have two incredibly strong and athletic and long defenders that make their, you know, overall rotation so much more impressive defensively than it was yesterday.
Also Tari Eason, the green suit, the money green suit we buying or selling? What are we thinking? Because there's been some stinkers, but I kind of like Tari Eason's fit tonight.
It's growing on me.
Yeah, arguably best suit in the draft? Question mark.
I think it's up there. I liked Jeremy Sohan's. Chets was pretty snazzy himself. What do we think Chicago, who is on the clock next, what direction do they head into? Because they've been mocked to take EJ Liddell, much like the Hornets were mocked to take Mark Williams for months now. So where do you think they are going to go with their pick, Nathan?
I think EJ Liddell is probably the best fit, the most logical pick. Could they do something crazy and take a swing on somebody else? I personally don't see it. I don't know how many, you know, crazy swings there are left to take that, you know, could still be reasonable for a team like the Bulls, who are expecting to contend in the playoffs. I think EJ Liddell is a perfect plug and play option. They need somebody at that four spot. Patrick Williams, I think you would still be a believer, Corey. You're the Bulls guy on the stream, but now you kind of have to answer questions about, is he actually going to be healthy to play deep in these postseasons, right? So if he's not, you're going to need another body to be able to step up and play that position next to whichever big they find to back up Nikola Vucevic. So I really like the Liddell fit, who still has some upside, can hit open jump shots, can defend multiple positions. I think he'd be a good fit for a playoff team. He's somebody we could see him playing playoff minutes next year.
Yeah, I think he could step right in, contribute. That is something that the Bulls absolutely need. I would be, you know, pretty happy with that kind of scenario. Patrick Williams, I am in on, maybe not as in as some of the other Bulls fans out in the world, but I do understand his fit in the modern NBA. When he wants to, he can be as good as any prospect, I think, in the NBA. He's just one of those guys that, you know, he may have that Kawhi Leonard-like stoicism, but he doesn't necessarily, you know, bring out the aggressiveness that Kawhi does, that robotic aggressiveness like he does. But I'm still in, and he's a cheap modern wing who could, you know, switch up and down the lineups and knock down shots. But I just want the Bulls to take somebody who offers versatility here. I know that the pick is in for Chicago, but I think every team should just be asking themselves, can the player I'm selecting play deep into the playoffs? And if the answer is no, then you should probably not select that player. Now, there's a lot of players who teams will probably talk themselves into saying this player can play deep in the playoffs, but it seems as though size, versatility, two-way play. So two-way versatility, even if you're not going to be a superstar, you see what depth does, how much you need it to support your main guys. It looks as though, according to Shams, that the Bulls will be taking Dalen Terry from Arizona at 18, which is a guy who we talked about being a good fit earlier. I'm not going to lie. I texted a scout that works in the league about 3 months ago asking if Terry was coming out. And he said, the word seems as though he's staying. I don't know. I said, well, I'm starting to get thoughts about how he could fit on the Bulls. I hope he comes out. I manifested it. I'm incredibly excited about this. I think Dalen Terry is certainly a guy who has a lot to prove from just a all-out production standpoint. Obviously, mm-hmm. he didn't get the minutes that you would want to see out of your first-round pick. But when he was in, that dude was making some stuff happen. And now I'm picturing a lineup with Ayo Dosunmu, Lonzo Ball, Dalen Terry, Patrick Williams, and maybe a defensive center at some point, just as like a unit that you could stick out there that's big and switchable and versatile. I'm thinking about the playmaking between Lonzo and Dalen, allowing guys like Zach LaVine to get open backdoor cuts. I'm looking at him as a little bit of insurance because Lonzo Ball's knee apparently is never going to get better. So in the off chance that doesn't happen, Dalen Terry is very exciting to me. Metcalf, should I be exalting in this moment, rubbing it in the faces of our Knicks fans colleagues who seem mostly disappointed?
Yeah, and I think you should be thrilled about this pick because the big downfall for the Bulls last year, well, one of them was injuries, and Dalen Terry immediately provides that same kind of versatility in the backcourt and length and size that the Bulls really missed down the stretch of the season. So at worst, he's an insurance policy and a great depth piece. At best, that shot kind of comes around, and we're talking about a really nasty, versatile 6'7 point guard who can defend multiple positions, set up any cutters or shooters he wants, and then knock down shots at a reliable clip. So I think the upside with this kid is really, really impressive. His competitiveness, the way he plays, his work ethic, his motor on the court, it's all evident. It's all really impressive. He was someone I was kind of hoping would fall to the Timberwolves here, but I think this is a really good pick, just improving the overall versatility for the Bulls.
Nathan, talk to me about what Dalen Terry brings from an energy perspective. Is he the number one kind of energy guy in this class?
He's definitely up there. He's certainly with any other name we could throw out. I mean, it seems like every time he does something on the court, he's either flexing or throwing up a fist pump. So, I mean, that type of energy, I think you want that in Chicago. Corey, are you guys about to have a guard quartet of Lonzo Ball, Alex Caruso? Like, holy smokes. The defense that you guys are going to have in the backcourt with those two, Terry, Ayo Dosunmu. I mean, good God, who wants to go up against that backcourt every single night? Talk about insurance. You have plug-and-play options in there defensively on that side of the ball anyway. And I think if Dalen Terry's shot comes around, isn't the combination of him and Alex Caruso really fun? Don't they kind of take advantage of what each other does really well if Dalen Terry can shoot? I mean, Caruso's one of the most willing cutters at the guard spot that we have in the NBA. Dalen Terry's a guy who can find those cutters. And then in turn, Caruso's somebody who can penetrate, get in the paint, kick it out. And if Terry's wide open for the shot, or he's smart enough to make the extra pass, whip it to the corner, and then you're finding, what, Zach LaVine open for an open shot? Or whoever else they have the forward spot? Getting guys like that who are big, long, makes it happen on the defensive end and keeps the ball moving, that's what every team wants if they're competing in the playoffs. Great pick.
Connectors. Yep. But guys.
Again?
We have a Woj bomb. The Minnesota Timberwolves have moved back to the 22nd and 29th pick, where Memphis is moving up to acquire the number 19th pick, where they will select Jake LaRavia out of Wake Forest.
Wow.
This was a good Woj bomb right here. First of all, shout out to our guy, Jake LaRavia, who was cool enough to allow No Ceilings to come watch him work out, interview him. Great kid. I'm excited for him to head to Memphis and play with Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. and talk about connectors. I mean, the epitome of the modern connector, 6'8", one of the best cutters in the draft. I mean, talk about what he did with Alondis Williams as a cutter. Now he gets to do that with Ja freaking Morant. I mean, talk about walking into a good situation. But we have a Timberwolves fan on this stream. So Metcalf, I need you to, how are you feeling here? You got two picks out of this. Out of the spot, and I don't think LaRavia would have been one of the guys the Timberwolves were targeting necessarily. So it seems as though you might still have a shot getting whoever the Timberwolves were targeting while also acquiring another pick. How are we feeling?
A little worried because the guy I was hoping they were targeting, EJ Liddell, was sitting there. So, hey, why not just take him? And now we get to play the fun waiting game of let's hope no one takes EJ Liddell until pick 22, which I don't love playing the odds of. So I'm a little worried of who that may suggest is at the top of their board, and what that means for my sanity and, you know, heart health going forward.
Sure.
So I'm a little mixed bag of emotions with that. I think the guy that made a lot of sense was sitting there. So I don't love the trade, but if they're valuing guys and or based on their board and they had like 82 guys in to work out, if they didn't think anyone was worthy of that 80 or of that 19th pick at that point and they get an extra first round pick, okay, I just got to live with it and cross my fingers for picks 22 and 29 here.
Well, look, we still have both Ohio State guys on the board. I know you're a fan of both. There's a lot of talented players. What we've talked about is we think this is a depth draft. We think this is a depth draft with guys who can play. So, you know, just sit, relax, and be patient here.
Listen, my dream for Metcalf's misery is still on the board where they have two first round picks.
Don't do this to me.
With both of them.
Why? What did I do to you? What did I do to you?
At least you won't be on screen for that if that happens, Metcalf.
That is true.
San Antonio is on the clock with the 20th pick. What direction are the Spurs heading in here? They took Jeremy Sohan earlier in the draft with the 9th pick. What do they need, and where are they going?
God, I mean, listen, Corey, I know guard may not be the most immediate need for the Spurs, but by my board, I mean, Malachi Branham's still there. I had Malachi Branham as the 11th ranked prospect on my board, a lottery level player. Do they really pass on somebody like him? Like, I don't know what other direction they really want to go. I mean, they could reach for a big, they could go grab another type of point guard. They could get EJ Liddell and draft him away from the Timberwolves, despite Metcalf not wanting.
Thank you. I appreciate all the kind words.
They could go for like a Marjon Beauchamp, but by value on my board, what I would do at this point, I would take Malachi Branham, the best talent available, and just kind of figure it out later.
They could also take a trip overseas and maybe take one of the international guys, perhaps. There's a lot of options for the San Antonio Spurs.
Nikola Jovic is destined to go to the Nuggets, Corey. Don't let that not happen. I know, double negative, but...
Thankfully, if that happens, you will be the one who is breaking that down. That way you can deal with all of those jokes and trying to say Jovic, Jokic, and Jokic, you know, three times fast on camera. If you could do that, maybe we'll give away a piece of No Ceilings merch on top of the Top Shot stuff live on camera if Jovic goes to the Nuggets. Metcalf, what do you think the Spurs should do here?
Add shooting. I love Branham. You know, even more of a guy who is a little more of a project, like Max Christie, I think could make some sense. Jaden Hardy a little bit. I'm a little lower on him. But then just my wild card, you mentioned international guys, Gabriel Procida. I love that fit.
Viva Italia!
The off-ball shooting, the size. I think he's a solid defender, so... I don't know. I think at least they just need to add some shooting from their wings.
The Timberwolves are also sending a future second round pick to Memphis as an upgrade. Yeah, it seems as though a guy like Branham makes a lot of sense there as a versatile shooter, playmaker, methodical, very Spursian. Procida, a guy we're all high on. Ceilings.
There is one more name. I mean, Wass threw it out today. One of his tweets was that if there is one guy he could bet on possibly going ahead of some green room guys, it'd be one of the more out of Duke. I know that might be a little high for our blood, but does he kind of make some sense there?
I think Wendell Moore you could talk yourself into making sense almost any team. You know, I think he has the Io Dosunmu case where he's a big guard who plays defense, knocks down shots, and, you know, can serve as a secondary, tertiary playmaker for your team. But it appears that the pick is in, and it appears that it is Malachi Branham, one of the guys off the board for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, Nathan, I want you to hang out for a little bit, but we're going to send you backstage because Metcalf and I, we have to get to a little business. Our friends at NBA Top Shot gave us some packs to open. All right. So we're going to see you in just a few minutes, but we're going to put you backstage. Metcalf, are you ready to
I'm pumped.
Open up live on camera an NBA Top Shot pack?
Yes, sir. I'm very excited.
All right. We've gotten some really fun moments so far. We are absolutely crushing this Top Shot experience, and we are off to the races here. All right, we're gonna get the music on and let's open our pack. All right, we have four more moments. Metcalf, where should we go?
Let's go top left.
Top left. All right, we're starting at the beginning. We had a dunk from the Magic. Mo Bamba.
Oh, Mo.
I still believe in Mo Bamba.
I still believe.
That's a nice dunk.
Have a good year.
Catch a body.
Oh, catch CJ a body. Ellaby, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah. So is there a player that resembles Mo in this draft?
Oh. Maybe Ishmael Kamigate, though, just kind of the way he moves.
Yeah.
If that jumper comes along, he's a little raw. May take a little more time to kind of get there. And then Walker Kessler too, just big shot
combination.
Dude. Oh yeah,
little combo there. All right, I'm going bottom, bottom middle. We got a dunk. Oh, a Giannis. Oh. Let's go. Oh, let's go. Oh. And it's against the Celtics, throwing it right in Rucker's face. Off the backboard. Let's get it. Let's get it.
Oh, just it was so rude live, but it's so much better on replay.
If you were, had the sound on the ESPN stream, your draft comp would be Chet. I'm not even going to throw that question out because Giannis is an absolute one of one. So we're not going through that exercise. But Thanasis, even with the celebration there, you're getting the whole experience. This is an amazing, and you get the playoff moment. I love that. All right, top right. We got two more moments here before we shift over. A Drew Holiday. That was a huge moment. That was a huge, huge moment there in the playoffs. Game-saving block. Do we have any Drew Holiday type guys in this draft?
Ooh, I don't think so. I don't think anyone's. Maybe Johnny Davis is probably the closest one to it.
Yes. Similar body type, similar intensity. I think length. I like that Johnny plays like. He's very ambidextrous, and that's a playoff moment for us. We got two playoff Bucks moments here. And let's reveal our final moment in the set. Phoenix Suns, Bismack Biyombo.
Oh, Bismack.
Not the best screen set, but he did catch that body.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he caught the body. Yeah,
oh, what are you doing? You can't be that late.
That's when you got to do the Jalen Williams from Arkansas, just take the charge there.
Or just run away. Just run straight to the bench.
Yeah,
it's not
going to
work out.
Do we have, who's the Bismack Biyombo? Very similar, I think, to Mo Bamba, maybe. Just a guy who can come in, play defense, block some shots.
I'm going to go real deep. Probably a guy who is more of a UDFA target. I'm going to say Kofi Coburn. Just huge body.
Yeah.
Just unmovable in the paint. Just put him out there. To screen, get in the way, do a little bit of the dirty work.
I like it. Make sure that you head to the link that is pinned to the top of the chat. Sign up for NBA Top Shot and enter yourself in the No Ceilings Top Shot Moment Giveaway Sweepstakes that will be going down in the second round. It's free to sign up. And then while you're there, you get in on the action too. Open up pack, feel the excitement. The pack, you're going to pay $10 for the pack, but signing up is free. But feel the excitement that we felt. Right now, we are going to bring our friend Nathan Grubel back to host, and we are going to bring in Tyler Rucker, your better half, along with Maxwell back onto the stream. That's going to do it for us for now. We will be back later on for more of the madness. Nathan, welcome back.
Thanks, Corey. Thanks for bringing me back. I appreciate it. Yeah, man, this crew, here he is.
Oh, let's go, boys. I've been waiting for my turn to jump back in here. Let's have a little fun. How are we doing?
This cast feels familiar. I should say welcome to the Draft Deeper podcast. That's a different feed, but Tyler Rucker, Maxwell, how are you guys doing? Rucker, you haven't been on the stream in a little bit here. You've kind of been casually sitting back, working on some stuff behind the scenes. But now you're back on the stream. You're back in front of a camera. What is going on? Basically, from pick 11 all the way up through now, we've had multiple trades. The Knicks don't know what they're doing. The Hornets gave Duren to the Pistons. Like, what? What's going on? What's been probably your biggest takeaway over the last 10 picks before we get into the Nuggets pick?
I mean, Troy Weaver and Sam Presti, I've been absolutely impressed with. Shocker. I feel like those guys are playing chess during the draft while everyone else is playing checkers. But I've been really impressed with the haul that Weaver came away with. And then what Presti was able to do with those picks and, you know, also getting another pick in that lottery after he traded one a couple of weeks ago. It's just fantastic. This has been crazy. We thought this was going to be a crazy night. Just complete anarchy, and there's a lot of value still on the board, and it's only going to get more
insane. Yeah. Speaking of value, hang on, Rucker. I know Maxwell wants to jump in here, but I have to go back to Rucker for this one because the Nuggets pick is in Christian Brown. Our son, Gamer. Christian Brown.
Gamer.
Drafted to the Denver Nuggets at 21.
Yep.
Much higher than I think people would have anticipated about a month ago for him going. I mean, listen, when Sam Vecenie comes on my podcast and trashes Brown just a little bit, then moves him all the way up his board into the 20s, I start feeling pretty good about my evaluation for Brown. And Rucker, I think by your board and sort of the conversations you and I had, you were a little bit higher on Brown even than I was. So talk to me about his fit in Denver.
Well, I feel like I've even said this a couple of times to you, Nathan, on the Draft Deeper podcast, is I thought Brown was just going to be a guy that playoff teams were wanting. He was going to be everything that you were looking for in a wing that plays smart, that does the little things that might not show up in a box score, but he's got good size. He's a much better shooter than his numbers might show you. He's improved every year. He's tough. He's confident. He's not going to be scared stepping into that locker room as a rookie. That's a great addition for the Nuggets. I really do like that piece. Another asset to your rotation. He's a guy that can play playoff minutes. I mean, he's just a absolute gamer, and he's going to be ready to roll for Denver. I really do like that pick.
Maxwell, talk to me about Christian Brown. Talk to me about what you think about his game, his fit. Was this the direction you thought Denver would go, like taking a shot on a wing?
I think it makes sense. I kind of thought they might lean a little more guard creator-ish just because a lot of their backcourt guys are kind of aging out a little bit outside of your Bones and your Jamal Murray types. I don't dislike this pick at all, though. Something I really like about Christian Brown that I think scales so well to the playoffs, and you saw it at the Combine, he didn't have his best game, and he still was one of the best players on the floor.
Yes.
He just has so many ways that he can impact the game. He's willing to get his hands dirty. He's willing to rebound. He's a very productive defender for a guy who isn't great laterally. He just reads that side of the ball very well. He's got some good vertical pop. And like I said, too, I thought they might lean more playmaker. He's a really savvy guy off the bounce. He's got to get better with his first step attacking a closeout. He tends to swing his hip really wide, and that kind of slows down his momentum heading toward the basket. But he's a guy that he's going to shoot the cover off the ball. He's going to make the gritty plays. He's going to play defense. He's going to find the right man. He's just a nice solid piece to add to a playoff team.
Listen, by the numbers, he was one of the better transition wings that we have in this draft class. Even if Denver isn't always playing up and down basketball anymore, taking advantage of that altitude with Jokic manning the team, when Jokic is off the floor, they probably do want to take advantage of that altitude in those home games a little bit. Christian Brown does give you that in transition. You mentioned some of the playmaking, Maxwell. I mean, just because he isn't born to you know, run pick and roll sets every single trip down the floor doesn't mean he doesn't offer some of that secondary playmaking value as well. Oh man, I know why Rucker's giving me that face.
Yep. I'm
trying not to hide it, but this I just want to give
so about Metcalf, 2 minutes ago.
I'm giving
ago,
you a hug, thanks. Metcalf. I love you. I'm no, giving you a thanks. Hug. I'm sorry.
So about 2 minutes ago, I was just on the stream. This is a Woj bomb. This is part of the trade that already happened. So
okay.
Memphis essentially is making this pick now. Well, they were. Now they flopped the pick. They went to 19. Minnesota got 22 and 29. So this pick is going to Minnesota. 2 minutes ago on the stream, I made a comment to Corey and Metcalf that my dream for Metcalf's misery was on the board. What if the Timberwolves took Walker Kessler and Blake Wesley with both of those picks? Now, what's interesting about this, guys, is we might not think this is the best fit for the Timberwolves on paper, but there's been speculation about this for like 2 weeks, right? We've seen all the ESPN mock-up updates. Jonathan Gavoni's putting Walker Kessler to the Timberwolves, making a Twin Towers type of argument, right, that the Timberwolves needed more interior size, they needed more rebounding presence, they needed shot blocking down low. And when you have a guy like Karl Anthony Towns, who still gives you secondary size next to Kessler, who also spaces the floor and lets Kessler either go to work in the paint on post-ups or being sort of like a diver to the rim, there's that opportunity for those two to coexist. I still question the defensive fit because of Towns, but if this is where they want to go, I mean, you can make that old school Twin Towers argument and just want to stack the deck with as much size as possible. Rucker, do you have any immediate takeaways on this? I know I'm a little puzzled. Where are you at?
I understand the theory and the thinking behind it. I've been a guy that's been a lot lower on Walker Kessler throughout this whole process, especially at no ceilings, but I get the idea of putting him potentially next to someone like Karl Anthony Towns. And also this is a tough team that's continuing to take strides defensively. This is getting another defensive big man that can really do some damage and help you early on as a rotation guy, if anything. So Maxwell, what do you think? Are you buying in on the Walker Ranger?
No. So here's the thing. I think offensively it's fine. I think offensively the idea of like he is inside, Towns is outside.
Right.
The problem with Twin Towers is that towers do not move side to side, which is the problem with both Walker Kessler as well as Karl Anthony Towns. It's just two guys that can get completely cooked in space. So depending on the lineup, there's going to be teams you can play it against. I don't know that I draft Walker Kessler above some of these guys on this board at this point to experiment with it. To me, it's way too rich to take him this high to begin with. But when you have some of the upside guys left on the board, and just to like do it as an experiment, it just puts such a bad taste in my mouth.
So Maxwell, we have a little bit of a Woj bomb here. I don't know if I was going to put the graphic on the screen, but we have. There it is. He did give us the fire on the screen. So we are Philly guys. That's why I'm calling you specifically. We are 76ers fans. They are not keeping pick 23. They are moving pick 23 to the Memphis Grizzlies. We're bringing home De'Anthony Melton, baby. That to me, that's one of these trades I wanted to see happen with pick 23. If we're really going to move off that pick to avoid taking one of the younger backcourt guys, maybe Dalen Terry going higher than anticipated led to the moving of this pick. Maybe when Malachi Branham slid a little bit, but then ultimately went off the board, maybe that's why they were calling around looking for a trade. We know that Daryl Morey was looking to potentially shop the pick along with Thybulle all along, but maybe the pressure came out a little bit when they saw how the board fell. And given some of the backcourt options, Maxwell, that are still left on the board, I don't know if any of them are going to be better, at least in the short term, to help a playoff team than De'Anthony Melton. What are your thoughts?
I would agree with that. And I think that a lot of us on Sixers Twitter were kind of hoping that, like, you know, a couple years in a row, we've gotten this draft Twitter favorite. You know, it was Tyrese Maxey, it was Jaden Springer. And, you know, now with trading the pick, it didn't happen, but we're essentially going back in time and getting the draft Twitter guy of 2018 in De'Anthony Melton. So we're still getting a draft Twitter guy. We're just getting them several years after the fact. I think it's still a win on that front. And I really like De'Anthony Melton. I think he's a really solid plug and play guy for their team. And I am shocked that this is who has been taken with the pick.
Boys, look at what just happened with 23. You know who's going to Memphis? David, I got a boat in my gut. Roddy is going to Memphis. Holy smokes.
David Roddy, thick city. This is the weird pick by Memphis that all of a sudden it clicks for Memphis, and he's perfect for them. It's just this is the weird one. Like someone like Memphis would do this.
The Ricky Sanchez for David. I'm going to vote Roddy even being a thing. But
first of all, I do love the De'Anthony Melton addition by Philly. I think that's going to be a very underrated move because they need someone that's a little bit of a Swiss Army knife. And he's one of the more underrated guys in the league. David Roddy in the first round here at what, 23? Whoa, boys. See, there was someone was going to buy into it. Someone was going to be a believer of the, hey, he's undersized, but, and he's built like a power forward, but 6'5", but he can move. He can do some things that are special. And if he could, If you're convinced it could work, I understand it. But Maxwell, you wrote about him at No Ceilings, right? Like, what are you thinking? Are you just shocked?
I am, because he fell out of my top 60. But I think
like him then here. Yeah, at 23.
I think there is a chance he could work. Like it just all depends on the scheme. And I think in Memphis, I can make it make sense in my head. If you have like Brandon Clark and Jaren Jackson and all these other mobile defenders on the floor, you are going to be able to hide him a lot easier.
Right.
He actually does a better job covering smaller players than I expected, and he's able to keep guys on his chest. His closeouts are just a disaster, though. Like, he has the worst closeout film of any player in this class by a mile. So he's going to have to get used to that. But I think they do just have enough, like, switchable, bouncy bigs around him that you can kind of cover for some of the defensive flaws.
I don't know what to make about that. Is this the Josh Primo pick from last year that makes me go grab a shot glass and just
because I think Maxwell's spot on. I think this is trying to hide. Like, if you're convinced your roster can hide someone's weaknesses and he can still be an asset where he's contributing at a high level, I get the Roddy swing. I was always convinced, like, I had him way lower. I probably had him in the 40s or something. But I was like, some playoff team is going to say, we can use this guy. Like, this is a unique weapon for us. And like Maxwell's saying, if you think about it now and you're like, you surround him with those high defensive type of guys, maybe it can work. But it's the same conversation we just had with Walker Kessler. It's an experiment, and there's a lot of value that's still on the board. Roddy could be a heck of a weapon. He could be a Grant Williams idea. That's what Memphis could be thinking. He's like, this could be Grant Williams.
Back in here really quick, I just want to say that the 76ers also moved Danny Green as a part of that trade. So Danny Green.
All right.
Listen, we got rid of Danny Green's old knees having to try and run up and down the floor now. So we're rolling.
That's fine.
And Danny Green gets to be trending on Twitter again. So he's breaking the Hall of Fame of social media. I love it. Shout out Danny.
We love Danny. We love Danny. Mm-hmm. But go ahead, Maxwell.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the other thing with this is that Memphis is in a position where they have so much depth that I don't mind them taking this kind of gamble here. Like, they have so many good young pieces that it's like, all right, well, we could just roll the dice on this David Roddy thing. And if it doesn't work out, we were still had one of the best records in the NBA. If not, where did they rank? Did they have the best record last year? Were they the one? Or no, they were the two seed in the West.
Yeah, they were the two.
So you're one of the best teams in the league already. So it's if it doesn't pan out, the stakes are low. Or if you're Minnesota, it's like, we were barely in the playoffs. Like, we had all these struggles. We still have these positional needs. It's different to me when you're experimenting and that experiment is on a low value position guy, worth Roddy. It's like, all right, I can talk myself into it.
So I can talk myself into it if doing some of this movement, eventually being able to free up some of the salary that was even acquired in it as well. Is this to be able to re-sign Tyus Jones and Kyle Anderson? Because if it is, I can see where they're going. But my only concern with them getting back Roddy, who I don't buy that he's going to be able to create any offense himself at a high level. He's a catch and shoot guy, right, at the next level. You're shipping out the door the Anthony Melton, who can create some offense on the ball. And we already looked at the Grizzlies last year in the playoffs. So much pressure was on Ja Morant's shoulders to do everything for that team off the bounce. So if they're definitely going to keep Tyus Jones, you can talk me into getting potentially one of the better catch-and-shoot guys in the draft to help the playoff team. If not, then I really want to see the direction where Memphis is going. It looks like Milwaukee, the pick is in. Adam Silver's announcing this selection.
Don't take who they're going to take. I know who they're going to take.
Marjan Beauchamp. I love it.
I love when guys cry. Yes, and Beauchamp's journey – Beauchamp's journey's been so dope. I love this. This is great. And we all couldn't figure out, but we were rooting for him. Yes. I'm sorry.
You're all good. You know, before I kick it over to you, Rucker, you know why I love this pick for Milwaukee? Milwaukee is one of these teams. They know what their identity is.
Yes.
What do they do the best? They play the best offensively in transition, and they defend the best in transition. Marjan Beauchamp's one of the better athletes in this class at the wing spot who does both of those things. Tremendously, regardless of how you feel about some of his half-court offense, regardless of how you feel about some of his one-on-one man defense, that guy sprints back the floor on the floor. He sprints up the floor. He gets after it. He can finish on the break. He's really good at trapping guys, forcing turnovers. This just seems to me like an upside play on somebody who actually fits what the Bucks do well, and this is just a team drafting to their identity. I love it. What do you think?
I absolutely love it. I think it's a great fit for the Bucks because right exactly what you're hinting at, Nathan, like this is they're going to get Beauchamp in there, they're going to bring him along and they're going to put him in their rotation off the bench and they're just going to be like run wild and do what you do. Be a garbage man, make the extra hustle plays and he's going to be a pest for all these teams that have to deal with this guy off the bench that just plays like there's no tomorrow because that's what Beauchamp's path to the NBA has been. I mean, it's been ups and downs, it's been challenges. I'm not saying every other guy hasn't had that, but Beauchamp, like, I believe this is a guy that was almost giving up basketball. So, like, that's how crazy it's been. And to see the improvements he took with the G League, like, I loved watching him. It was just one of those guys, because he's an older prospect, you're trying to figure out where is his fit in the draft. And Milwaukee got a good one. I really do think that's a great spot for him, and I think Bucks fans are going to love him.
Maxwell, we're paying attention to the ESPN broadcast. We're seeing Marjan just cry in tears of joy, literally live.
Yeah.
Talk to me about not only your evaluation of Beauchamp and what your thoughts on how his game fits, but also just some of your positivity and some of your thoughts of joy when you see somebody who, as Rucker talked about, his journey's been incredible. He's worked so hard to get to this moment to not only be drafted by an NBA team, but also go to an organization with real championship aspirations. The Bucks are going to be right back there again next year.
Yeah, and that's why he makes sense. I mean, this is a guy that does all of the little things. He's an incredibly savvy passer around the elbow. He's going to mix it up. He guards down well. He guards up well because he's really strong. He's going to be a good fit in there. And that journey that he's had is just one of those things that really makes you believe in a player. Like, this is a guy who, you know, got wrapped up in the Chameleon BX experiment that, you know, thought it was going to cost him college eligibility. Maxwell Lewis, by the way, at Pepperdine next year, part of that same program. Keep an eye on him. Put a little bookmark in Maxwell Lewis for next year's draft.
You're an animal.
You draft sickos. He's already thrown it out. We're not even done.
You're an animal. We're not even to the first round. You're throwing us sleepers for next year.
Yeah. So, but Beauchamp, like, just the fact that, like, he has that level of resilience and that refusal to quit in him is exactly what a team like the Bucks is looking for. Like, they're looking for a guy that they know, like, hey, if this league punches you in the mouth, how are you going to respond to it? Because you're a playoff team and you're committing to at least 2 years of salary on a guy. So when they see a guy like Beauchamp, they know, like, this is a guy who's going to respond well to adversity and he's going to fit in really well there. He's a better screener than you would anticipate for somebody his size. But just the way he attacks the basket, the way he rebounds, it kind of reminds me of Pat Connaughton a little bit in terms of just like another guy who isn't the biggest, doesn't look like he's going to jump out of the gym, but he does. And he gets in there and mixes it up. He's just going to scrap. The Bucks just love these guys that play in the mud. And he's one of those guys.
Do you want to know what surprises me before we get to the Spurs pick? That pick is evidently in. Hasn't been announced yet. We'll get to that in a second. But did either of you guys have on the bingo card Dyson Daniels and Marjan Beauchamp going ahead of Jane Hardy tonight? Did either of you guys have that on your bingo
card? No.
That does surprise me a little bit. What are some of your thoughts on that record? Because I know that Hardy might not have ended up the highest on your board, but I think you were still a Hardy defender, as was I. I didn't have him in the lottery, but I had him close enough to it. What do you think about his fall and where he could possibly go coming up here?
I think that just because we have guys ranked higher on our boards, intel is everything. And it's kind of telling you the story. Like, we've said this throughout the year multiple times, all of us, is like, I had Hardy, I think, 16th. Am I shocked he's still on the board? A little, but not that much, because it's just intel. This is teams. If you interview poorly and it gets around, this is what happens. This is your fall. And we got guys like Ty Washington still on the board, other guys like that. It's just not surprising to me, but I think there gets a range where the upside's worth the swing. But Beauchamp, I think, was a guy that teams were going to be in love with because he has those intangibles. He has the, I'm going to do everything you want.
Like, coaches are going to love him too. He's a playoff guy. Like, coaches are going to eat him up in practice. Like, they're going to just see him hustling like crazy and be like, I want to give that guy minutes because he's playing so hard.
Blake Wesley is now off the board before Jaden Hardy, the Spurs pick at 25. Blake Wesley.
I didn't know Wesley went with the James Bond look. Now I actually like him.
Man, he is so slick. He's so smooth. He's so slick and he's so smooth on the court as well. At times. I won't say all the time. Rucker's going to come in here and be the pessimist a little bit on the offensive end. Like, Wesley, calm down, slow your roll just a tad. But listen, are we a little surprised the Spurs have now went guard twice? Like, they went Suhan, right? So they went for a forward who can complement another big if they get the DeAndre and sweepstakes. They have so many different options in the backcourt. You take Branham, who I love the Branham pick. I thought that was excellent value, getting somebody who was ranked 11th on my board all the way down to 20. You take another guard in Blake Wesley. You just took Josh Primo last year. Maxwell, what the heck are the Spurs doing?
It's a lot of guards, and I kind of like Blake Wesley, I think, more than a lot of other people on our crew. I'm not going to, like, defend his college production or the fact that he horrifically struggles at the rim. I think the appeal with Blake Wesley is he scored unassisted a lot when he was not expected to, and he was entrusted on a veteran-laden Notre Dame team. Like, when they got a rebound, he was the guy they looked to kick it to, even though he was an unheralded freshman recruit. As far as the fit goes, though, I know that he's a guy you want to develop, and I think regardless of which team took him, you wanted to put him in the G League. But they just got a lot of guys at these positions now. So he's going to find himself in a tougher situation than I think he thought. If you were like the one, developmental project guard wing hybrid, it would be one thing, but you've got Josh Primo already ahead of you. You've got DeJounte Murray making an all-star team. You've got Malachi Branham in the mix, who's a lot more polished out of the gate. It's a lot of competition for him.
Rucker, this trade could make more sense if DeJounte Murray's on the move. We've heard rumblings about that the last few days. Does taking two of these guards kind of signal that more change is coming in that backcourt?
I don't think so. I like their draft a lot because I think
– I do too.
Branham, you know, it is great value there. I also think, like, we were talking about – him at one point of like, hey, he could go a wild card at nine. And I love the Suhan pick. I think that's great. That's a classic Spurs. Like, yeah, we'll take the versatile guy. We'll figure him out. We'll unlock it. And getting Wesley at where you got him. Like, I know I haven't been a humongous Wesley supporter, but I think at that point where this is our third pick, the value is too high. The swing is there. Like, Blake Wesley ain't going to go to the Spurs and just shoot like crazy. They're going to be like, hey, we're going to slow you down and make you develop the right way and play the game. The Spurs just need to find guys. Like, they're just building depth to hopefully click and hit on one or two guys. Like, I don't think that roster's set where it's like you have to avoid these players. And I think Murray's going to stay. I think the Spurs are like, yeah, you can have him for three firsts. If you want to give us three first-round picks, you can have anyone you want. But, I mean, I still think just San Antonio is in a position of keep adding talent, just keep developing and hope that one or two guys click and you have something.